Welcome to UN Gender Focus. I'm Jocelyn Sanvira at the United Nations in New York. Coming up in this week's program, the UN is calling on countries to send more women police officers to Darfur, and solar energy is transforming lives of women in West Africa. But first, young girls in Zimbabwe struggle with issues ranging from early pregnancy to accessing sexual reproductive services, a young activist has said. Anna Sango, advocacy officer for Africa Young Positives, is in New York to attend a high-level event in the UN General Assembly on ending AIDS. A political declaration was adopted on Wednesday, setting new time-limited targets to end the epidemic as a public health threat by 2030. A motivational speaker and life coach, she started her own community-based support group for women affected by HIV. Ms. Sango told me why the conference was important to her and the young girls she works with.
For me, it's important that whatever we discuss in whatever platform that we have, how is it going to be accepted, adapted, and even used within the grassroots level? If it comes to a political declaration, how is that political declaration going to translate into my life as a young adolescent girl who's 18 years old, who faces peer pressure, or who is pregnant, or who doesn't have access to comprehensive sexuality education, or who doesn't have access to education at all? How is that really going to translate? How is that one paragraph in that declaration going to influence on my life? So the most important thing is, how is this going to translate into my life as a normal young person?
How did you get involved in working with these young women?
As a young person, I've always had the passion to see young women being empowered. So it's just a passion that I've always had. And also looking at my own personal experiences, some of the things that I've gone through as a young person and some of the things that I went through as a teenage girl, it just showed me that sometimes a girl or a young woman just needs someone that is there to encourage them and elevate them because they do have the potential.
Well, what are the specific areas that you feel women are most at risk, or young girls, or where they need to be empowered?
Well, it's issues to do with keeping girls in school. That's very important. And also issues around early and child marriages. And also issues around accessing a comprehensive sexuality education, as well as sexual and reproductive health and rights. Those are some of the areas that we really need to empower young women and girls, because most of them do not have the information. And when they do have the information, it's more or less like they are not empowered to actually access the services. So I believe that women need to be told how to find their inner self, how to be able to be empowered to access the services that are rightfully theirs.
Do you mean that the services might be there, but they just don't have the courage to ask for them?
In some cases, services are there, condoms are there, information is there, or contraception is there, but young women do not access it because sometimes they don't have the courage to do that. They don't have the know-how to do that because sometimes they'll feel like, I'm 18, what am I going to be doing at a clinic looking for a condom or looking for contraception? But at the same time, they are having sex and they don't want to get pregnant early. So it's like they need the knowledge to say, okay, you are at a point whereby you are choosing to have sex, that's your choice, but at least be safe. You're choosing to abstain, that's your choice, but at least have the right information to make sure that you attain to that.
More women police officers are needed in Darfur to help protect millions of people displaced by conflict. The appeal has been made by Priscilla Makotose, police commissioner at the hybrid UN African Union mission there, known as UNAMID. She said although women comprise the majority of internally displaced people in Darfur, women police officers make up just 2% of the mission's formed police units. Daniel Dickinson caught up with Ms. Makotose during her recent visit to UN headquarters to attend a global summit of police chiefs. She began by talking about what it's like to work for peace in Darfur.
It's interesting and challenging at the same time, but the UN family is very supportive. So at the end of the day, because we are well trained back home when you come into the mission, and with all this support, it's just one family doing their work, working very hard to promote peace and build the structures and the environment for peace in the Darfur region.
And how many other women police officers are there working in Darfur?
Currently, I have about 16% of my deployment being IPOs, and the formed police units are slightly less. There are about 2%. which out of the 13 FPUs comprising about 1,820, only 2% are women. And for the IPOs, individual police officers, we have a total of 1,530. And of those, only 16% is female IPOs.
Is it important to get more women police officers on the ground in Darfur?
Very much so. And that's why this conference is so important, this summit, because it gives us this opportunity to plead with the delegates who are here to provide us with more female police officers. You will realize that our mandate is provision of protection to the IDPs, and you'll find that most of the IDPs in the IDP camps are females. And you realize also that this cultural dimension in Darfur, where you have to respect their culture, and for male IPOs to be interacting so much with the females is not really very much acceptable to them. That's why we would need a greater number of female officers. If it could be managed, we would really appreciate. And we are really pleading with the delegates who are here, if they can take it upon themselves when they get back home, support our mission and bring in more women on board.
What are the other challenges that you face? I understand sexual abuse is a big issue there.
Yes, it is. You'll find that women are very vulnerable, and children, they are very vulnerable. That's why I was saying that we need to capacitate. Generally, they have not much of rights, can I say that in courts? So we are trying to empower them to get to understand that they have rights, they are human rights. They cannot be exploited, they cannot be abused.
Solar energy is lighting the pathway to a better future for rural youth and women in West Africa. That's according to an engineer from Burkina Faso who attended a recent UN conference in Turkey devoted to the world's least developed countries, or LDCs. The young people are being trained to install and maintain solar panels, water heaters, and other items through a project called Mama Light for Sustainable Energy. Princess Abzi Jigma, founder of Abzi Solar, which produces the Mama Light line of products, is behind the initiative. Princess Abzi spoke to Rima Baza, who began by asking her if there was a conflict between the need for companies to be profitable as well as socially responsible.
I think it's not a conflict. At the end of the day, from the private sector perspective that I'm part of, is we are happy to bring goods, but in a good manner, to our end users, which is our clients. Our clients are happy when they know that we treat very good our employees, and also that the raw material where they're coming from, that we don't damage Mother Nature, is good for us. Because if we damage everything, there is no client, and then it's not resilience. It's about resilience as well. More and more companies are aware about it. In the past, maybe they were not aware about it, but even the demand, the customers urging the corporates also to go in that way, to be more sustainable.
Talk to us about your project to provide training opportunities in the African continent.
I'm engineer by profession and electricity specialized in solar, and it's using energy as a catalyst to upgrade the youth, because it's also a business opportunity for them. It would be also the way to bring access to energy to most of the people and grow the economy. As you know, without energy, you can't grow your economy. So it's a business opportunity also for our youth. They don't need to go away. My concept is that we're sharing the work with our brothers and sisters who are in the countryside, train them in their language, because our training also is in local language, and this is important. That's what makes the difference with the initiative Mama Light for Sustainable Energy, which is a bottom-up approach, community-based, owned by women, drive by women. We're doing multifunctional platforms, and this is really owned by the women. And we have a program called Mamas for Mamas. The women, they are trained, and they train others.
You've been listening to UN Gender Focus from the United Nations in New York. You can download more of our programs on iTunes. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Jocelyn Sambira.